comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Vic and Zoe Avery.
Hello once again, and welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery, hello.
And we are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. On this show, we focus on education, and through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. On today's show, we'll be discussing the reactive mind and continuing with our health conversation. So if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subjects, the toll-free lines are open, and in the US it's 877-876-5227. In Canada it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers awake, it's 001-530-876-3222. And this is basically, it's not a reading show as such, but it's questions about, the conversation. You'll pick it up as you go along. Obviously, things that are pertinent to you about the subject, personal or otherwise, you can actually ask Gregory. That is absolutely fine. So basically, it's all how to do with our spiritual pathways and incorporating our health in a holistic way with our mind and our pathway and the food that we eat, the food groups. So, looking forward to that.
I am too. Although I won't be here.
You'll miss most of it.
I won't be here. Yeah. I'll miss most of it, won't I, darling? Thank you very much. And, well, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST, and we have another radio show, which is actually called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who lived in 1723, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s, as I said, in 1723, in fact, he passed, and has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We don't spend too long on talking chit-chat. That's me talking chit-chat, because I usually talk rubbish anyway, and the beginning of the show is just a very short segment for me, as we try to save most of the show as long a time as possible for the spirit world, and Gregory Hay always has so much way more to say that makes so much more sense than anything I have to say. So anyway, there you go. I'm going to go then.
Okay.
Right?
So, yeah. I just have to explain to, Mick actually gets himself ready to go off now. Just like to explain that before Gregory comes in, he gets slightly not delirious as such, but he actually starts slowing down. His brain starts slowing down, so he tends to start gibbering somewhat. But anyway, I'll tell you about Gregory. He's a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are made up of scientific minds of all description, plus ordinary people. They're an educational team that have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, and hopefully to understand and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When mixed in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So this is not Mick passing information from spirit. It's completely lights out for Mick and Gregory Hayes. Complete personality will be taking over the show. If you'd like to see Gregory in action, you can go to our website, and you can also go to YouTube. Anyway, it's YouTube Spirit Gregory, I think it is, that you have to type in. YouTube Spirit Gregory. And you can see some clips of him. And anyway, what was I going to say? Yes, here we are. So our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear Fane.
Why are you doing that?
Because you have to put a stroke.
Do you?
In the air, yes.
A stroke in the triple W, what, in YouTube?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sure Spirit Gregory will come up somewhere.
Yes. I'm sure it
a
will.
Slash. That's
me.
Slash.
I am Spirit Gregory.
Yes.
Yes. Hello, absolutely. Dear friends, with love and light, as always.
And I'd just like to say as well, sorry, Gregory, I'd just like to say that we are on Second Life on Sunday, this Sunday, at 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. So if you would like to join us then at the Mystic Academy in the New Oracle Temple, we have great fun. So that's www.secondlife.com. And if anybody wants to join Second Life and has problems getting around or just generally wants some information, then we can, if you get in touch with us, we can put you in touch with somebody who will help you. So, there you are. Sorry about that, Gregory.
My dear friend, it's quite all right. Yes.
Okay, so hello. The reactive mind in health.
The reactive mind, there's a thing.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what we've been doing, isn't it?
Yes.
So, where would you like to start on this? Today, last week we covered quite a large area of Luann. Oh, by the way, Luann was the person that kindly suggested this subject that we're covering and sent us some questions. So shall we start with some questions of hers first?
Yes, of course.
To lead us in?
Yes.
Okay. What about, let's move on to supplements this week.
Very well.
I don't think anybody likes the fact that, apart from the fact that they are expensive, but we feel that we need to supplement our diets. And there are various reasons, aren't there, why that we have to do that. So can you be healthy with just food without supplements?
Yes, absolutely so. It's really to do with the kinds of preparation that are that human beings are dealing with, not just human beings, but animals too. So we are looking then at the different kinds of holistic methods of keeping one as one would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, however, is a question of environment. So that's really what you have to look at. What is it that you yourself are putting yourself in order to try to survive at being in a certain place? Many places, I understand, are environmentally unsafe for habitation. So that's really the first thing that you need to look at. What is your environment like? Is it a place that is actually doing you damage, creating damage around you and within you? That's really, I suppose, one of the fundamental questions that anyone needs to ask themselves. Particularly, of course, if it is a place that perhaps for different reasons, maybe it's a place you work at which creates the worse environment for yourself. We understand quite clearly that many beings actually suffer greatly from the environment of the environmental impact of where they work, or perhaps even where they live. So this then has to afford people to understand something about their own viability as a physical being. This is obviously that we are at great pains to point out that even though you are spirit and your spirit has been in existence for millions and millions of years, it is, however, that in a sense, what it really is the point in spirit having a physical existence if that existence is going to be tainted by its environment. So really, part of this situation has to be that as physical beings, you need to look after the environment rather than having to supplement it with various minerals and that kind of thing. I understand that this is not something which is new, but in actual fact, thousands of years ago, human beings have always brought in the waters, shall we say, of mineralization. And that this has always been something which has given great holistic care to human beings. Really, particularly for the impact of certain specific salts and minerals, iron and that kind of thing, different forms of chemicals which naturally occur within the ground coming through water, coming through various mineralizations, particularly, I have to say, to do with geothermally heated water and that kind of thing. It's a situation which, in point of fact, even animals would benefit from, of course, and they do. So the situation has to be, however, that one has to be careful of what it is that you are actually bringing into your physical body. And I suspect, and we can see quite clearly from our side of life, that many human beings in their habitation are actually putting themselves at risk purely by their environment. So part of this then is that that's what you have to look at. That for many human beings, they actually also struggle with their genetics and the environment. It may well be that their genetics harbor specific anomalies, shall we say, which puts them against the environment in which they live. For example, people with particularly long backs and that kind of thing, even how they are physically formed, will bring about a certain impact upon their well-being. And this too, I understand, we have to take note of.
Can you explain that a bit more?
Well, for example, my dear friend, if you are a person who has a particularly long back, it means to say there are certain inherent weaknesses and structures of the physical body which are going to leave you at a disadvantage to your environment. And also, I have to say, to a certain extent, to a disadvantage even of the Earth's gravitational field, because this in itself actually makes it more difficult for a human being to remain upright. So what you as a physical being have to do is exercise twice as much as a person who is perfectly in relation, that all of their body parts are in relation to one another.
More compact.
Yes. So this, I suppose you could say, is not necessarily equally the same with someone who, shall we say, has longer legs than they would have normally. This tends to be, in fact, have different problems and different leaning situations, perhaps maybe to do with the joints and that kind of thing, which then tends to be that you have a different compression ratio problems to do with the limb function. Yes, and this then, the compression ratio function, then actually has a complication upon the different forms of cartilage which keep the different bones separated from one another. So you have to take that into account as well.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because, I was just thinking about, well, if you're overweight, obviously, there's going to be more health issues than if you aren't. But that's interesting to think of the actual structure of the person, apart from abnormalities, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
Being something that you have to think about. I mean, who would think that there was a disadvantage to having long legs?
Well, absolutely. But the point is clearly, it appears to be that for certain people in certain climates as well, I have to say, that people with longer legs tend to be at a disadvantage. Now, for example, people who live in particularly hot countries are better advantaged if they're small.
Okay.
And actually, the reason for that is quite simply that, and you will, this will actually bear out in the genetics as well, friend. You would have, in fact, that people, shall we say, living in India, the prevalent genetic is of a person being not much more than about 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
And that is the prevalent genetic. That is simply because of the fact that as a genetic tribal situation, that is how they have transfigured, I suppose, continued to evolve in their evolutionary state. It tends to be as well that people in that locality are have much finer bones as well, and much finer bone structures. This is actually partly, I understand, not specifically to do with the food that is eaten, but is actually to do with the very different forms of climate, bearing in mind that much of India itself is actually of a very low-lying country.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that the other forms and plains, shall we say, of the water, the more watery places like Bangladesh and those countries also are, as well as China, of course, and continuing on, you would find that all of these races have very certain specifics. I understand that as well, that predominantly, shall we say, in various parts of where they are tending to use and eat perhaps food which has been matured or kept in specific kinds of spices and herbs tend to be in a healthier state. Although genetically they are more offset by strange abnormalities which can tend to occur in Indian people more than in Chinese people, I have to say. That you often find that many irregularities in Chinese people, although lung health is a bit of a concern oftentimes, mainly, of course, because of pollution. But actually, in India, it's actually to do with the genetics of skin.
Carry on.
The genetics of skin actually arises from certain specific anomalies to do with their lymphatic systems. People from the country of India tend to have a much poorer lymphatic system in their genetics, and their genetic imprint then leans toward certain conditions to do with the lungs and that kind of thing. They suffer much more from forms of cell change and organic cell structural change, which then brings about different lymphatic and forms really of problem that arise from both the airway and the production of the dealing with poisonous wastes of the physical food system. That's really, in a sense, why it is that if they didn't eat food that was spiced, they would probably be worse off, in point of fact.
That's very interesting.
Because it's actually very healthy for you, as it strikes out many abnormalities which may occur within certain food groups. I'm talking here, of course, about the fact that within this particular country, for example, they may eat a great deal of hot spice purely and simply because it's a good way of preservation for food, and that in itself will add a great deal of, it's quite a bonus really for their health ethic. However, the slight upon it is actually to do with the pollution. You didn't used to see, in centuries gone by, you did not actually used to see such a chaotic genetic display in within people. It's only really been something which has appeared to amount more, particularly with polyps and that kind of thing. Situations, growths on the skin are more prevalent in and as well as having different formations of lung disease as well. These are more prevalent within the Indian nation of people than had been before. Now, alternatively, you may look at other forms of lung disease, which actually are inherent within certain other conditions of people. Should we say that, in actual fact, many people in upon the physical earth, if you look at it genetically, are inherently weak within the lung system. And this is actually really forming in the fact that now inherent within your atmosphere, you have far more particulates within the atmosphere than were present perhaps, shall we say, 300 years ago.
Hmm.
So it is a problem, an ongoing problem, and that presents a specific genetic weakness as well, as more and more people, it appears, seem to be have a weakness in that respect.
So there's far more, it's far more to think about, isn't there, when you're wondering about where you would like to live, other than, well, do I like, you know, do I like the area, is it pretty, and
yes.
That sort of thing.
Yes.
The obvious things, if you know what I mean, because for you, individually, genetically, this is something that you really, really do have to take into consideration.
Yes, and of course, people that live at higher elevations, it does also mean to say that the particulates of oxygen within their blood system may well be quite different to people living at lower elevations. So you have to take that into account as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that people who live in mountainous areas are at a disadvantage. In fact, I have to say that generally people who live in mountainous areas are tending to live much longer than people who live in low-lying districts. This usually is because of air quality.
Ah, okay.
Air qualities are much higher the higher up that you are.
Mm, because you adjust, physically you adjust to the thinner atmosphere.
Well, yes.
If you're healthy.
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, you're at a disadvantage wherever you are, if your lung function, for example, is below a certain percentage point. However, it is to say that the better that you will be, perhaps that... Shall we say, for example, if it's a person who has a certain problem in that area, then it might well be more beneficial for them to be on the coast. However, there is a drawback there in the count of parts per million of moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in fact, can bring about added infections. So it's really quite difficult. I would suggest probably that being in the mountains is more healthy than being on the coast in that respect.
Yes, and of course, as we talk about often in our Akashic readings that you give to people, you can tell by, you have to take into consideration people's individual vibrational energy as well about, so there's all these things to take into consideration about where is the best place on the planet that they should be living.
Oh yes, absolutely so. And it really does depend upon the genetics as to what is going to be the most suitable place.
Because it's not always going to be the place that you're drawn to because of whatever, like I say, beauty, people, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. Or maybe even if the place itself has a history of pollution, or perhaps pollution of specific types and forms as well. Don't forget, friend, that many people who actually live in areas where there are large amounts of coal mining, for example, or other forms of open cast mining. Coal mining especially is very hazardous, not least of all because of the fact that it can turn up various other minerals which are extremely harmful, like arsenic.
Mm.
And these can happen in very abundant quantities. Now, I'm not saying that arsenic is specifically bad for you. In fact, actually, you probably, as a physical being, originated from arsenic in the first place.
Explain.
Well, because that's part of the inherent genetic of the pool of chemical structure that physical life began in.
Okay, I think that's probably another program, isn't it?
Yes.
In itself.
And that would have been approximately around a billion years ago.
Yeah, okay. Well, what about exercise? Is this a question of Lou Anne's?
Yes.
Because she actually believes that weights and resistance build is good for building strong muscles, and
yes.
Also obviously you would lose weight as well.
Yes. Exercise is good for, is probably really the one simple thing that people really need to do.
Okay, but people go mad though about cardio, don't they? There's all sorts of, there's people now that say that some say do it, some say it's damaging, some say there's this cardio interval situation where you get your heart up for one or two minutes and then go back to normal and then go up again, because doing it that way you can exercise for only 15 to 20 minutes rather than, for longer.
Yes.
There's all sorts of different ways of doing it. Do you want to comment on any of that?
Well, just really little bursts of energy. I suppose you could say that this is obviously going to be something which will keep you fit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit like saying that if you are particularly, shall we say, that you work or that you live in your house and you spend most of your time in your house,
mm-hmm.
then it's a very good idea to walk up and down the stairs, if you have more than one level, to do that every now and then. Because it actually keeps you fit, and it's something that's very good for you. So it really is a matter, of course, of what you and how you are able to satisfy the regime of that your genetics demand. So that really is what you have to look at as a physical being, that you look at the genetics that you actually have and the availability that you have of the perhaps the way that you move around in your own environment, and how that then has an impact upon you as a being. So perhaps you may have a small plot of land, and that in itself keeps you fit and active and healthy. Perhaps you spend time and periods outside where you work upon the land, or even perhaps work on various objects and things, effects, on your land, on your property. So perhaps it may well be that you have a lot of fences to put up or something like that. Well, that's very good for you, and I would wholly support it.
Mm, and it's such an individual thing, isn't it, really? But obviously exercise of any exercise is good for people, and individually it would have to be assessed by somebody medically to help people with that. But we're not disagreeing that anything that's cardio related.
Yes, and of course.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, if you're looking at a person's individuality, well, I understand that there are very different shapes within human physicality. So you would have some beings who are perhaps larger or rounder than others, and some are lean and streaky, and it would appear that they're long, thin poles. Poles apart from one another, maybe, almost looking like different forms of species, in fact. But, however, it appears that some of this does appear to be to do with the function of various physical body forms that actually allows the pituitary gland, of course, that creates the certain specific functions of size and that kind of thing, and maybe this in itself will lean itself toward posture and the different strains that you as a physical being place upon yourself. So really you need to look at these different apertures, if you like, in life.
Is there a specific supplement, going back to supplements, that is commonly needed, you know, vitamins and minerals, is there something that is commonly needed that we don't realise, and is there something that is commonly not needed that is actually you feel is maybe not is overrated or whatever?
Yes, well, my dear friends, first of all, it is to say that certain forms of salts, magnesium and sodium to a certain extent, are needed within the physical body. However, these are tending to be trace elements, but human beings generally tend to use these in quite exuberant form, particularly sodium, of course.
Mm.
And it really does mean to say that now, naturally, occurring salts are usually found in and inherent within specific forms of vegetation. So it can be said that you may well bring about enough of this quantity in that various forms of vegetation that you eat, usually found in root vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
The condition then that you find perhaps in certain other food forms, iron is a necessity for all life to consume in various varying quantities. In physical human life and in animal life, iron is very necessary. It's actually part of the core of the planet, of course, and the inherent structure which is created throughout the compression and situation of how the tectonic plates actually work together, which is created, creating iron in abundance within its core structure. All rock, in fact, eventually turns back into iron. So it's, in a sense, looking like the pattern of life is regurgitating again and again and again. You may even find that different mineralization salts, which reside at the bottom of the ocean, normally would be purely to do with specific layers of mineralization, which have been the detritus of physical body matter, and that's how it ends up as different forms of mineralization, which then, of course, form in compactures of and structures of layering, which then may ultimately end up perhaps within certain places of so then which can be mined yet again, or actually end up within the decompression of in fact ending up as part of the magma shelf. So in that respect, of course, it's gone forever, as it is churned up within that form of heat, which I understand is most severe.
Mm. Okay.
But the other thing to mention here as well is that there are, of course, certain other situations where human beings are actually suffering from an inherent multiplication of minerals and different elements, to do with perhaps the way in which these different chemical structures are having an effect upon the various oceans. So you then have a problem, of course, with the different kinds of fishes or whatever, that kind of food that is caught and eaten. They themselves will actually inherently become at a disadvantage, particularly with things like mercury poisoning, which is inherent from such effects as coal mining and mining of various other minerals. So these will actually have a different effect. Mercury and arsenic are usually a byproduct of these kinds of activities of human state. And these both lead a very poisonous existence to human beings.
Hmm. Okay. I'd like to go on to... now then, everybody would agree, I think, that sometimes you really, really crave salt,
yes,
and other times you really, really crave sugar.
Yes.
But there's certain people that are attracted to one or the other a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Like, so why are some people attracted to certain food groups? You know, some prefer salty snacks, chicken, nuts, others fruit, others sweet and candy.
But that's actually addiction.
Okay.
Purely addiction.
Is it? It's
yes,
really,
mostly. Okay. Mostly it's purely addiction. So that is a habit that people get into. I am not suggesting here that people who have swings to do with specific forms of food are then inherently addicted to them. I'm not saying that.
No.
And it may well be that as in just the same way as a horse will suddenly need to go and use various salts and minerals, which, of course, is exactly as it would occur naturally in the natural organics of the world upon which you live, that there are various places where animals will come and drink from or will actually lick the stones of a certain area where there is good mineralization, usually containing iron and various raw salts, which are freely and abundantly available upon the planet's surface in various locations. This, in fact, means to say that animals from time to time do need additional mineralization and salts from these different states, and the quantities of them vary. And they're usually really to do with natural salts of magnesium and sodium, which occur naturally, of course.
Okay, so we're not craving this because we're lacking it, salt, sugar.
Well, it might well be.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. But you see, usually human beings don't actually eat enough natural sugars which are available in fresh vegetables. And that's really what you need to do. You need to eat plenty of fresh vegetables in order to actually maintain your body existence of the right forms of sugars and salts within the physical body system. And these can be found in the many different vegetables, the vast array of vegetables that you have. My word, you have far more vegetables in abundance now than we ever had in when I was walking upon the physical earth.
They were probably healthier, though.
Well, I don't know about that.
No? Well, you didn't add chemicals, and that's sprays and fertilizers and additives, did you?
Well, there were still fertilizers, my dear friend. We used to use cow dung and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Readily. But I suppose you could say it was much more naturally organic in those days. You must understand, my dear friend, I do not have a problem with genetics as such. Of genetic manipulation of plants has been going on ever since evolution began.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point you have to understand. And that there are many different forms of genetic manipulation which have applied and created new species of plant, which then become readily available and are organically available for human beings to eat. And I appraise that. I think it's the most marvelous and wonderful situation. And that is something that needs to be obviously continued, because the more people that you have, the larger food you need to grow and amounts of food you need to grow in order for these human being populations to be sustained. However, it is that this does not mean to say that you need to carve up more of the natural landscape in order to turn into food production, because quite clearly what you really need to do is to lessen the amount of production which has gone from food into using production for energy. And that is something which is most wholly detrimental to the planet.
Well, absolutely. There's things used in sensible ways, isn't it, really?
Yes, I don't mean to diverge.
No, but that's fine. No, it's all, that's fine. Okay, but I'm just going to plunge you back into chocolate.
Yes, very well, yes.
So what is it with chocolate?
other than the soporific effect it creates. It's actually to do with the mineralization within it. It's extremely healthy.
Oh, don't say that.
No, I'm afraid it is. Really, I mean it. But the point is that people don't do enough with it. Chocolate is inherently, at its present time, something that's used to just as a confectionery. But it isn't, actually. It's a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And should be used as such. So you need to use chocolate should be used in cooking and the preparation of all different kinds of foods.
Yes, but surely you're talking about a specific type of chocolate. I mean, the chocolate that we can get is already got chocolate. All sorts of, horrible things in it already.
Yes, of course. So I'm not actually suggesting here that the impurities that are placed within chocolate as an alternative to eating well is a good thing.
No.
No, I'm not saying that at all. But actually, that's usually inherent within the different kinds of sugars that are added, particularly to do with specific forms of sugar that may well be, that are unhealthy for you to begin with. I'm not saying or suggesting here that sugar beet itself is specifically unhealthy, but most certainly the way that of its production, white sugar, is inherently unhealthy.
Mm. Absolutely. These days we hear about probiotics, you know, the natural
yes.
culture to replace the...
And that's essential too.
...good bacteria in your gut. Do you think they are a good thing?
It's essential at this moment in time because human beings eat too much rubbish.
Right, so it's good in this day and age, basically.
Yes, really, it's inherent. Part of the problem, you see, is actually in the genetics. So it depends entirely upon your genetic stock, where you have hailed from as a physical being, not as a spirit. So it means to say then that if you are actually coming from the stock of an indigenous person, it means to say you've got to be extremely careful about specific genetics that you allow into your physical body system. Wheat, for example, is inherently difficult for people, indigenous peoples, of various races right across the planet. Many different forms of indigenous peoples, aboriginal peoples, are actually at risk when they eat specific forms of grain, particularly wheat.
I actually don't know anybody that doesn't benefit from not eating wheat. Except in their own mind that they can't, you know,
yes.
they can't have certain things. But health-wise, the amount of people that I know that have tried not eating wheat for whatever reason,
yes.
Pretty much have always said that they feel a lot healthier.
Yes, absolutely so. And that's true.
Which is interesting.
Yes, but unfortunately, it's as though there has become a whole monopoly on the use of wheat and... it has become one of the mainstays of human civilization in many respects. I understand the reasons why, because it's a very versatile, creates a very versatile seed. However, the problem inherent within it are to do with the genetic qualities which, for human health, are in adversity to it.
Mm. Okay. One of Luan's questions. How can one figure out why one is overweight? Because one can have food issues and just eat too much, or be an emotional eater, or have medical problems.
Yes. Well, all of those, really, my dear friend Luan. And the situation is, for many people, that they simply overeat. For many people, I am afraid to say that what they crave for are simply those, their cravings, their situations of anomaly created by chemical interaction. And that is something that you have to wean yourself from. So many conditions usually happen through the whole situation of eating and what you eat. I understand for many people they may actually be addicted to specific chemicals, particular kinds of flavorings, which are have now been adopted perhaps through some chemistry lab. And this, in fact, is something which is inherent in the property of certain food groups, certain foods that you pick up which have already been made, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Certain kinds of food which have to have elements of preservative within them in order for them to be able to stay upon the shelf, for example. Such a simple thing as delaying the time factor of how a food degenerates. And if you are arresting that kind of situation, you've also got to think in terms of, what is that going to do to my physical body?
Absolutely.
Because inherently what it will do is it will have an effect upon the change of molecular structure. And it's only common sense. That's what you have to do, is you have to come to the bridge of common sense in your mind and understand that many of the reactive situations that you create within your life, particularly built around the consumption of food and how you survive in your physical world, is actually all about chemical reactive instances and nuances in your life. So the kind of foods that you eat and the preparation of different foods that you make in your life are going to either significantly add to your chemically balanced food list, or they're going to adversely create disadvantaged effects upon you. And you will then succumb to certain kinds of diseases because they are having an inherent problem upon your cell ease.
Okay. So the other thing is that she asks, is it best to have discipline and eat at certain times every day, or is it best to eat only when hungry? Because obviously working people have breakfast between sort of 6 and 9 a.m., lunch 11 to 1 p.m., and dinner whenever or whatever.
Yes. Well, I have to say, my dear friends, that most people, in fact, it's extremely poor if you eat late at night.
Right, yes. I think you mentioned that last week. What about the other meals?
Well, the most significant times to eat are first thing in the morning and perhaps two-thirds of the way through the day. So, at the time of around 4 o'clock or around that time, is the optimum time for another optimum time for food.
Okay. It's funny, because we were just talking about that, but there must be a way to figure out how much food is needed for a healthy body. Do we just not listen to our bodies when, we just keep eating it and feeding it? And I was just thinking about the difference between feeling hungry and actually craving for something.
Yes.
We don't actually think... Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, is that Luan?
Yes, of course.
Hi, Luan.
Hello.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, friend. Hello. Hello. We love a night here.
Okay.
You were talking about some kind of foods, and there are some people that talk about alkaline and acidic foods, and you also can have a healthy diet on that. And I would like to hear your comments on that, too.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely so, friend.
And
well,
I am going to hang out because I want to listen through my computer.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Well.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so alkaline and these different forms. I understand that it may well be that certain people, for example, within certain areas will eat different kinds of food or will tend to be addressed maybe within certain specific soil types, for example. Soil types which are from mountainous regions or actually will tend to be that they are formed in quite acidic conditions. These usually range because of the various different forms of plant which inherently exist in these kinds of regions. So it will be, however, that plants that grow in deep clays and those kinds of structures will actually produce an abundance of other forms of growth. So it can be, of course, that lush valleys create a greater diversity. However, both are needed. That's the point, really. And there is not one specific that you can say, it's better to eat one structure of acidity, shall we say, rather than an alkaline situation. You need to really address a specific balance between about the quality of food that you take. The point is, of course, that many people cannot actually register this within their, so perhaps not knowing exactly what a certain food group is, as to whether it's acid or alkaline. And this I can see as being a problem. However, now, for example, most foods or fruits, for example, will be quite acid. And yet, many vegetables, which contain different forms of pectin sugars and that kind of thing, can prove to be quite, in a sense, maybe have the structure of alkaline purely and simply because they're inherent within different root forms. And root vegetables will have these different properties. It's not saying that one will be more predominantly alkaline or acid than another.
And surely the difference will be in the actual genetic and chemical makeup of the person that's eating
going to respond to their physical body system.
Yeah, we've more or less come to the end of the show. So
yes.
But if there's anything more specific that Luann wants to know about that, then we can continue with that next week.
Yes, it is really very interesting, the different inherent structures within the food processes and how that responds to your chemical reactivity. The point is, friends, that what you have to understand is you are all chemical machinery and that you need to support it as in a way that's appropriate to your environment and to your well-being. That means to say you have to restrain yourself from the illumination of chemical swings, and that's generally what tends to happen when people have cravings, when people go after specific food groups and actually find themselves in a wasteland of then consuming too much of one thing.
And we copy other people's diets, don't we, and that sort of thing. Well, they look good on that, so I'm going to try that one.
Yes, and it may be wholly unsuitable.
And we want to find out next week on the sort of things that we should be eating to spiritually, to help us in a more spiritual way, really.
Yes.
If we can, if there's such a thing.
If there is such a thing.
We will find out next week.
Yes. With love and light, then, blessings be upon your pathway. Everyone, be safe, be happy, and be healthy. Thank you, Stella.
Well, thank you very much. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us and our work, and maybe you'd like to book yourself an Akashic reading from Gregory. There are some new videos on our website, and we have some up on YouTube. Just type in Spirit Gregory, and it should come up. Anyway, thank you for your call, Luann. You've been listening to Spirit's Work, everybody. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
With 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutrition